I'd like to invite all of you who would at this time retrieve your message notes. And if you don't have a set of message notes, I think the ushers will be, you won't be providing them? Yes, he'll be, are they all gone? They're all gone? Okay, I hope someone just took it upon themselves to see that newcomers especially got a set of our message notes, because the study of the breath of God is exceedingly important to us as a church family. So we're looking at Acts chapter 6 in the first 7 verses. I've titled the message, Wonderful Things Were Happening as the New Church Grew Dramatically. And wonderful things indeed were happening. But we also know where the Lord is blessing, the evil one takes notice of it, and he would like to bring his form of a blessing, which is a curse, upon the church, in as much as he can activate one within the body of believers that he's upset with. So the apostles became aware of a murmuring taking place, a complaint amongst the Greco-Roman Jewish widows who had become part of the church, and they knew that they needed to take care of it so that the evil one couldn't use dissension and fights and things like that to split the church up. I mean, it's at this point, the church is very, very young, and they've already faced a couple of onsets by the evil one. They have been successful in overcoming them, being victorious, but nonetheless, this is something that could bring hurt amongst many within the church at this time. So, by way of a very brief recap, if you'd look at page 1 of your notes, in page 1, beginning in, at verse 3, the Apostle Luke, he tells us, therefore, brothers. In other words, because of everything else that were in those first verses, the murmuring that's taking place, the complaint, we have some diverse people from all over the Roman Empire who are Jewish, who have received the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, along with these Hebrew believers. Since we have this trouble amongst us, the Spirit of God is telling them, really, what they need to do, because we've seen here what they don't want to have interrupted, and that these men are men of prayer and of the Word. And so they tell us here that, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men. And we learned that this picking out means to select. And to select from the Greek text is telling us, as you select these guys, we don't want 7 guys by default. Oh, heck. Everybody else said no. I'll do it. No. Those kind of guys are not ever needed in leadership in the church. Never. The men that were to be selected needed first to be under the scrutiny of the church family. The church needed to know them to be men of good repute. These men, in other words, had a very good witness inside the church and out. They were known to be tremendous witnesses for the way. We're not called Christians yet. It's the way, the church. They need to be men of the gospel. And then he talks about the next characteristic. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. And we all receive the Holy Spirit at the moment that we come to new birth in Christ. But this is the infilling on a daily basis, to have him fresh, anew, as it were, to be exercising his dunamis power within the life of the believer, to be this man who exercises the very characteristics of Christ, because being full of the Holy Spirit, that person has the fruit of the Spirit being born within his very life. And it's obvious, quite obvious. And then the third qualification was to be Sophia, wisdom. And it wasn't the picture of my little granddaughter that I showed up there a couple weeks ago, my Sophia. But Sophia, to be men that understand the Old Testament scriptures. These are men that are devoted, as we see in chapter 2 of Acts, to the apostles' teaching. And they are taking the word of God and applying it in the everyday issues of life. Common sense of how to take the breath of God and use it. So family, as we move into the text, I am calling all of you, if you will, really listen with spiritual ears this morning, that you'll join where I have been and continuously want to find myself. And that is, as we look at the Word of God, we are also to be listening to the breath of God. It comes forth. It's His words. The Spirit of God. They are God-breathed. The words are inspired by Him. And they were inspired for you and for me to listen to and to breathe into our spiritual lungs, so to speak. That it just infuses into our lives and into our minds, that we understand what He's saying. Because that word sometimes can be as sharp as a two-edged sword, cutting really deep and causing pain. But no matter what, the word is active and alive. So the Spirit of God has something that He wants to say to each and every single one of us, whatever our ages, whatever our socioeconomic status, whatever our race, He has a word to encourage us. Even if it's a negative thing that you're finding in your life, it's an encouragement. The Spirit of God says, I'm here. Let's work on that area of weakness if we find one. And go forward for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So if you turn to page 7 of your notes, on page 7 of your notes, we began looking there in the middle at the Apostles' act of delegation. It was enormously successful. And this is in part what I based the ministry that the Lord called me to here so many years ago. To be delegating ministry to other people, because delegating ministry makes for a healthy church. GHCC has never been and never will be Ron and Kathy's dog and pony show. It is to be an amalgamation of disciples, mathetes of the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women, young people who have come to faith and are coming to faith and mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ as He draws us to Himself to be more and more like Himself through the sanctification process. I pointed out to you under the fact about Stephens and Phillips, and I want to see an army of Stephens and Phillips. And at GHCC, thank you, Lord, we have our own Stephen Langton. We don't have any Phillips, do we, this morning? But the fact is, that it's symbolic. You know, I wrote some down. You know, we have our Gary, and we have our Marcia. We have our Chris, and we have our Barbara. Yes, Barbara, I include you in there. And we have our Vijay and our Susan. We have this beautiful Sheila. We've got over here Eugene, and we have Geraldine. We have Eric, we have Nestor and Julie, Jackie and Tom, Susan and Nina and Annette. And I could go on and on and on, up and down the rows and the aisles. We've got our little army. But I also talked about, in that next section in your notes, about enlisting, because not everybody at GHCC is involved in our 6 core value teams. Not everyone. And I just want to strongly, lovingly, with respect, encourage those of you who are not in a core value team. Get out of the bleachers. Aren't you bored eating that dry popcorn? Come on down on the field. We have a position for you to play and to play for the glory of the one true living God, His Son, Jesus Christ. So, if you would, if you turn over now to page 8. I began there with Granada Hills Community Church core value teams. And if you're wondering what our vision statement looks like, if you're wondering what our mission statement looks like, then you take your worship guide, you turn to the inside page of page 1, and you'll see it right up there at the top. You can understand what our vision and our mission is. That was birthed out of the lives of young people that were teenagers all the way up to the older folks in the church. They came together as part of a team to bring a reformation to GHCC. We got together over a period of months and months, and we prayed, and we looked to the scriptures, and this is what was birthed. The Holy Spirit made very clear that this is how we're to go forth in ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the children of our Heavenly Father are to conduct themselves if they choose to become part of the GHCC family. So we looked at biblical teaching and training last week, and the leaders that we put out there for you to make first contact with, if you're a man and you think you have the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, preaching, then I want you, if you would, to contact Gary Bradbury. You can contact Pastor Eugene as well. I'm available. But we can sit down and we can talk about these things. Gary has done an enormous, wonderful job under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to bring together a group of men that teach our adult Sunday school class. Each week there's a different man raising up men to do the work of ministry at GHCC. And ladies, if you feel you have the gift of teaching and exhortation, and you would like to teach women, and you would like to be part of a children's ministry, then I encourage you to see Mrs. Pastor, Kathy Seidel, or Marcia Bradbury, to go and talk to them, and let's see what the Holy Spirit develops in terms of your next ministry. We looked at this value statement as well as the behavioral statement last time, so we won't go there today. But we're going to pick up looking at this next significant. There is not an insignificant ministry in the church. Not a single one. Anyone who's involved in ministry, I hope you never get the idea that somehow you're a lesser than someone else. You know, the church was never designed to be one big mouth and two big ears. We are all supposed to be involved in ministry. I mean, well, my ministry is like being a little toe. Well, have you ever banged that little toe? You know how life is hard when that toe is hurting? Everything in the body, everyone in the body of Christ is significant, very significant. But authentic love, I love this because, you see, the young people, the teenagers up to about age 35, were told at any rate that they're looking for authenticity. Authenticity in whatever it is that they're doing, but especially when it comes to the church. They want an authentic church. They're done with the plastic church, as I've been done with it for a number of years and have been trying to preach and teach away from it, and to encourage anyone who found themselves trapped in it to be released in the freedom in Christ. But authentic love, you know, authenticity, that means that you're conforming to an original. It's worthy of acceptance. You're conforming to an original, not a fake, not an imitation. And this is authentic love, not an imitation love that common love that we see in being expressed by human beings. This is that supernatural love that is being spoken about here, that we involve ourselves in, who are a part of this team especially. And part of our involvement with that authenticity, it is to present an authentic agape love. But not only an authentic agape love, seeking the other person's exceeding best and greatest good at our expense, because our teacher, our example is Jesus. That's exactly what he did, right? When he went to the cross for you and for me, he sought our best and greatest good. He didn't want to see us going to hell and damnation, but eventually the lake of fire, being there with Satan and the Antichrist and his prophet and the demons and so forth. He wants us to share in this philos love, this philos adelphos, this philos storgeos loves, where we are family. We see each other as family. We receive each other as sisters and brothers genuinely. And we look out for one another, and we share an affection back and forth for each other. That's what our Lord always wanted to see amongst his mathetes, his disciples. In fact, he told us, right? They'll know you're my disciples by your love. So the core value, authentic love, our value statement is we desire to demonstrate, not to go out with signs and not to go out and break windows. We desire to demonstrate. We are desiring to show, to see, to make clear something. We desire to make clear Christ's love and his value for each person, each and every person individually. Every person on the face of this globe has an infinite value, even though the evil one would have us think otherwise. Our behavioral statement speaks to accomplish this, to accomplish it, demonstrating Christ's love and showing the value of human beings, everyone made in the image of God. To accomplish this, we will show compassion. We will put on, like this vest, I'll put on compassion. I will enter into the feelings, the hurts of another individual and be with them in their hurt and encourage them to help the hurting. To show this, we will show compassion, kindness. Man, what happened to civility in this country? What happened to civility in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this country? We need to have this attribute of the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in our lives. Kindness. Kindness. Humility. Seeing other people as more important than ourselves. Well, that's hard for Americans. We need to demonstrate patience. Oh, well, you know, if I tell the Lord I want to do patience, I'm going to get this thing in my life that I have to actually do patience with. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, family. If you're already born again, you have patience. You just need to stop trying to illustrate it in your humanness and allow God the Holy Spirit to empower you to demonstrate it. All of these, in fact, that I've been sharing with you. Gentleness and forgiveness to all. Well, if I forgive somebody, they're going to think that I agree with their politics. They're going to think I agree with what they just said. When they hurt me, that's okay. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying forgive them. I'm not saying you're agreeing with them. Our Lord didn't tell us we had to agree with them, but he did say we have to forgive them and from the heart. And that's not easy, I know. But I can in the power of the Holy Spirit, if I'm under his control. Faithful prayer is a core value team in our church. Probably the smallest one. Isn't that a shame? I was so blessed this morning to see all these young collegians joining us for prayer. Otherwise, there would have been four or five of us. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. The faithful prayer, core value coming out of our vision and mission statement. If you want to be part of a wonderful core value team that will accomplish things not only here and now, but in Africa, out in Indochina, you know, Indonesia, you know, you can come right alongside the Douglases, that young, beautiful family with the four little ones over there in Pakistan. You can be standing with them in all that heat in a nice air-conditioned car or your house, and you can be praying for them because they're sharing the gospel. And you know, in Islamic countries, they don't appreciate that. Just ask Pastor Andrew Brunson. If you'd like to be involved in this, Eric Bulgarian's the guy to go and talk to, as well as Sheila Lamb. Our value statement is we desire to be ready for Christ's return through lives of daily communion. And that was put in there specific, daily communion. Every day waking up to the Lord, every day beginning with him speaking into our life, the breath of God coming out of this wonderful Bible. Daily communion with God and making intercession for others. Those of you that do pray for me, thank you, Vicki. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Any of the rest of you, thank you. Thank you for fighting on your knees for me, my family. We have been through it, and I don't think the devil's done with us yet. Our behavioral statement says to accomplish this, to accomplish daily communion in the lives of people, to accomplish intercession for others, to accomplish this, we will set prayer as a high priority. High priority, family. Why is it that the church doesn't want to get alone or get together with another brother or another sister or three or four brothers or sisters and talk to him together about things that are important, like this country that's going to hell in a handbasket? Our government that doesn't even try to hide its shame anymore. When are we going to make prayer a high priority? To accomplish this, we need to set prayer as a high priority through personal examples, teaching, and testimonies of how God is working in our lives. I want so much for the church family. You've heard this before in messages in the way past. I want you to be the living illustrations that make the point to those particular points I'm trying to make in messages. You can read ahead. You know where we're going in the text. You can look there and you can see, gee, the Lord took me through something just like that, right out of 3-minute testimony. You see, people look at me and they say, I'm the salesman, but you are the happy product, you know? You're happy with the product. You need to be sharing. People need to hear from you. You will be a blessing in people's lives by your testimonies. God-glorifying worship is our next core value, and Pastor Eugene is the person to go to. If you believe that our Lord would be honored with you singing with our worship team. If you have an instrument to complement the other instruments up here. You know, I personally love for us to have two or three keyboardists. I'd love to have a pianist, period. You know, it just sits there and gathers dust. I'm afraid the first person that plays it. And I'd like to have two or three drummers. And I'd like to have some more stringed instruments. It'd be nice if one whole worship team would be up here 1 month, and then another whole worship team comes up the next month. And then the next month, we blend the two. They're all up here. They don't have any room to do anything. Because they bring us into this beautiful musical prayers, beautiful comments in music to say to our Lord and our God. The value statement says we seek to exalt God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the common music. And to love Him, show our obedience. Behavioral statement says to accomplish this, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. When you got up this morning, did you say, Lord Jesus, here I am, a living sacrifice, having been made holy because of you, my Lord? We're supposed to be these living sacrifices every day offered up for His glory and for His honor because we're made in His image. We are those people that were created in His image for good works. Imagine what the church across America would be like if that was true of every church. Living sacrifices to do, glorifying our wonderful God in spirit and in truth. You know, He didn't give two bits about our worship so long as it's in spirit and in truth. Mission's core value. You need to talk with Susan Blair and Nina Sotosanti. If you're interested in missions, our value statement says we seek to communicate the gospel of Christ in word and deed to our community and to the world. Our behavioral statement is to accomplish this, we will go into our community and beyond to demonstrate God's love and communicate His gospel with personal and relevant ministries, such as the movie that's coming up. Tremendous opportunity to bring unchurched, unsaved friends, for they will see the gospel in the movie, a movie that has been exceedingly well done. And then to spend time with real Christians afterwards, eating that sloppy, tasty barbecue. You know, Jason, as you saw, he's just returned from Rio. Earlier this year, we had Karen Wright, who had been in Guatemala. Wonderful core value. Joyful service is our last core value, team. And you talk to Tom Marlin or to Barbara Wright about this. But the value statement says, we will serve the Lord with humility. Other people being more important than ourselves. And gladness. Doing good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of God. Taking meals to our shut-ins. Taking meals to people that are sick. Going out mowing a lawn for someone who can't get out and do it anymore due to a physical problem of one kind or another. Taking people to doctor's visits. Sitting with them during dialysis. Going into their houses and meeting whatever their needs might be. Inviting the community to come on our campus and to receive all the fixings for Thanksgiving meals if we have done in the past. Our behavioral statement there is to accomplish this. We will joyfully use our spiritual gifts, our talents, and abilities to meet the needs of others. Others. So those are our six core value teams. And our head usher just said, I can't talk anymore. So I need to bring this to a close. So if you're not in a core value team, I'm asking you to join one. Check them out. Check out two or three of them. Find that place where the Lord indicates to you you're needed. You're well suited. You have the gifting. I just want to encourage you to get out there and do these things, family. We are not going to follow the way of far too many churches that have become country clubs. Not so good ones, but nonetheless, they're clubs. We need to be looking for good churches to be a part of. Well, you know, they don't have enough kids in that church, you know. I got to have a place for my kids. You know, I talked to a young man in the hallway months ago, and I said, you know, if you kept your three little kids here, that'd be three more to add to our little pile of kids. Well, you know, Shepherd's has got a lot of them. And that's what's more important. Not necessarily the dispensing of the word and asking us to be accountable to Jesus, but does my baby have a place to go? When Kathy and I came here, my son was 4. My girls were 7 and 9, something like that. And they were so happy to have left the church that I was sent out from, because there was like 10,000 over there. They enjoyed being part of a small church. And their Sunday school teachers literally called them once a week to see how they were doing. They felt loved. They felt loved. So I want to encourage you. If you're not in a team, ask yourself why. Because one of those six you ought to fit well into. You can at least pray, but then you have to be part of that team. You have to want to pray. You have to enjoy it, talking to him. Because he certainly enjoys you coming into his throne room and meeting with him. I call it the family room. I like to go to meet him in the family room. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for speaking into our lives because you're so gracious. You demonstrate to each of these people that I have the joy of overseeing with Eugene and with Chris and with VJ. This church family is so full of great potential. And you have promised them extraordinary lives if they will take the messages that you've been bringing from this pulpit and from the lecterns and the Sunday school classes and sharing with them. They'll apply them. Take action steps. Make them real. They'll find themselves leaving lives of negativity. They'll find themselves being positive about you and what you're doing in the world. They'll be optimistic. They'll know that they have every reason to be hopeful and find themselves being encouragers. So, Father, I pray for us as a church family that we will continue to pursue you, that we will be authentic Christians, ever so approachable, and that we will affirm these people that we come in contact with, that they can trust you, that you truly are an awesome, awesome Abba Father. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.